Welcome to Kodampa Podcasts. These podcasts offer practical solutions to daily challenges and help guide us to a happier and more peaceful state of mind. In each episode, you will find an extract from a teaching given by one of various Kodampa Buddhist teachers worldwide. All these teachings are inspired by the profound wisdom of Venerable Geshe Kalsang Gyatso Rinpoche, a Buddhist master for our time. We hope you enjoy listening.
So first of all, meditation means to familiarize our mind with a virtuous object. And a virtuous object is anything that you focus your mind on that gives rise to the experience of inner peace. Okay? Anything you focus your mind on, which can be a feeling of loving kindness or a feeling of patient acceptance, a positive visualization like we just did in the meditation. It can be a mantra. There are many things you can focus your mind on that transform your mind into a peaceful state. Focusing on a virtuous object is something we can be doing all the time and not just on the meditation cushion. And Geshe Kalsang Gyatso, he said, when our teacher encourages us to train in meditation, this does not mean that we should not do our ordinary jobs or give up our ordinary jobs or our relationships with our family and friends. Those who are training in meditation are not abandoning human activity, human jobs, relationships, and so forth. They are trying to integrate their practice of meditation into their daily life. They are trying to unify their daily activity and their practice of meditation together. Okay, so unify daily activity with the practice of meditation. And he said, in this way, those training in meditation try to make the whole life meaningful, peaceful, happy, and harmonious. Every day they are doing this. They are not abandoning daily human activity. They are doing a perfect job, whatever opportunity they have, without interfering, trying to transform this job or activity into the meditation practice and putting them together. And I think this is an important point because maybe some people feel they've got to change their lifestyle in order to meditate. Like, I don't have enough time to meditate. And maybe you might look at me and think, it's okay, it's easy for you. You know, it's easy for you. You don't have to drop off kids in the morning. You don't have to go to work between 9 till 5. You sit on your bum all day meditating. It's easy for you. You've got plenty of times on your hand. Whereas me, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, and I've got to do that as well. And for me to perhaps give meditation the dedication that it needs and the time it needs to find inner peace means I would have to change my job, change all these things. Well, Geshe Kalsang Gyatso is saying no. You know, we just have to change the way we understand what meditation is. And what we want to do is to unify spending time with our partner, spending time with our friends, walking the dog, watching Netflix. Anyone a Netflix fan there? You can unify watching Netflix with a spiritual motivation or a spiritual perspective. when you're driving, sending emails, we can be practicing meditation whilst doing all those things. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? Like, how can I meditate and watch Netflix at the same time? In fact, I've come here to get away from Netflix and my phone and emails. How can I drive and meditate at the same time? Surely meditation involves closing your eyes. And if I'm driving and I'm closing my eyes, it could be the last meditation I ever have. I'm not very sensible. I'd have to pull over and then maybe I could meditate. So it seems like no, that's not possible. It almost seems a contradiction. How can I eat and meditate at the same time? Well, it is possible. Okay. How? So when we, so I'll just share a little bit more. Geshe Kelsang Gyatso, he gave an example of a famous Tibetan meditation master called Milarepa, and he said, while I am eating, I am meditating. So I don't think he was like this, sort of doing a bit of breathing meditation and like having a little bite on his pizza and then carrying on and then having a bite on his peaches, saying that's how I do it. Or while I'm watching Netflix, I'm meditating, but like watch a bit, meditating, watch a bit, meditating. What he means is whilst he is eating, he's meditating. And there's something in our mind going, hold on, how can you meditate and eat? That's a contradiction. But meditation means to focus your mind on something positive, to familiarize your mind with positive ways of thinking. And it is possible to eat and simultaneously with eating and to have part of your mind concentrating on a virtuous object. It is possible to be talking or listening to someone. And part of your mind is listening to what they're saying, but part of your mind is concentrating on compassion for that person or loving kindness for that person. So, like, if you examine your own experience, when you're listening to someone, then we're listening to the words of what they're saying. But isn't it possible, simultaneously as you're listening, to concentrate on the intention to listen to them with a compassionate mind, with a wish to help them and to empathize with them? What do you think? Yeah, so you're listening. So part of your mind is listening. You definitely need that part. And then part of your mind is concentrating on an intention to benefit the person, to cherish the person, or to help free them from a particular problem. In fact, that happens. Like if someone says to you, I've got a problem, and you can think, oh, I don't want to hear this. You know, it's that same old broken record. That's not meditation, by the way. We think I'm done with this person. They keep on at me all the time, the same verbiage again and again. So we're listening to them. But part of our mind is also a little bit annoyed. That's not meditation because we're not familiarizing ourselves with virtue. But if you're listening to them and part of your mind is being patient with them, you know, you're patiently accepting the challenge of this person, then you're meditating, because at the same time as listening, you're also training in patience too. So this is why there's no contradiction between eating, walking, traveling, listening, talking, and so forth, and meditation. If you're using part of your mind to concentrate on a virtuous object at the same time. So, for example, when we're traveling to work, part of your mind needs to be concentrating on what you're doing, you know, the traffic, the subway, whatever you're doing, but part of your mind can be concentrated on the intention to be patient with your fellow commuters in that journey, or an intention to cherish or care for your fellow commuters on the journey. And if you're conjoining the two together, then it's a practice of meditation for you. When we're at the intersection waiting, if we were to add up all the minutes in our life we spend waiting at an intersection, if we could transform that into a meditation, I think we'd be enlightened beings by now, because we spend so much time. excuse me. So when we're waiting, part of our mind is watching the lights, but part of our mind could be concentrating on a mantra, just for a minute, focusing on a mantra. You can't exclusively focus on the mantra, because then you wouldn't know when the lights change, would you? And then you get the people behind you, what are you doing? You know, leave me alone. But if we concentrate exclusively on the sort of intersection, then there's no conjoining with the spiritual practice. Can you see? We have to have like a concentration. We have to be aware of what's going on there. But part of our mind is also concentrated on a virtuous object. So it's quite fun. We can be creative in this. So when it starts raining, you're walking along and it's raining. How are you going to transform that into something positive? Can you think of anything? What could you do? You're walking along. You didn't expect it to rain. The rain is pouring down. So part of your mind needs to get home, but part of your mind could be concentrated on the virtuous object. For example, imagine what it must be like for people who are trapped in floods, natural disasters of floods around the world. You know, you're kind of putting it into perspective, and then you're using the rain as a way in, an avenue into generating compassion for others. You could even imagine, you can try this next time it rains, that every drop of rain is like a little Buddha, okay? A Buddha made of wisdom light. And as each drop of rain lands upon you, it dissolves into your mind. You know, you're receiving a ton of blessings from Buddha, maybe hundreds and hundreds of Buddhas who are the nature of peace, are like dissolving into you. So part of your mind is getting home with the walking, but part of your mind is focused on a positive visualization. And so you're transforming it. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's quite fun. You can be quite creative in it. Maybe you can think about how you want to transform showering in the morning or getting in the bath. Like, how can you be creative with that? I mean, normally you may grab the shower head and practice your singing Elvis, maybe into the shower. I'm joking. But how can you transform every daily activity into the spiritual path so that your life is a meditation? So Geshe Kelsang Gyatso, to conclude, he said, for example, whenever we are walking, we should always keep a good heart, a good intention, at least the intention to help or to benefit your employer, not only yourself. Doing that would be selfish. Please forget selfish intentions and maintain a good heart to benefit your employer directly and try to help others. At least do this, and in this way, maintain a good heart. Then, while you are doing your job, your mind can be mainly concentrated on your ordinary job, but part of your mind is also concentrating on your good heart, your good intention. Also, during the job, when difficulties develop or someone interferes with you, and so forth, then part of your mind concentrates on patience. While you are doing your job, you should also concentrate on your practice of patience, not allowing yourself to get angry. So meditation practice should not be outside of your daily activity. You should bring it into your daily activity with your family, your friends, husband, wife, children. At least do not forget concentration on patience, concentration on compassion, concentration on the correct view, and concentration on the correct intention. When you engage in daily activity, if you forget all the previous teachings, then you will receive nothing. You will never change from an ordinary way of life, and your problems of anger and attachment will still remain. So therefore, we need to learn meditation and bring our meditation practice into our daily activity in order to solve our human problems. In this way, we can make ourselves happy and make others happy. It's very simple. Everyone can practice this, whether Buddhist or not. Everyone has the problems of anger and attachment and the problem of selfish intention. So meditation should not be recognized as a heavy or a narrow activity. It is an open activity. Practically, we can carry meditation into our daily life.
If you feel inspired by this podcast, then dive deeper into timeless wisdom of modern Kadampa Buddhism by following the link in the episode description. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the next episode of Kadampa Podcasts.